Thank you to Alder Rebbeim for being so warm and welcoming, and so nice to see so many Talmidim. Whenever I'm at Netiv Aryeh, I always like to talk about something related to the Kotel, because there's always this overwhelming emotion. I don't know if you still feel it when you see it every day, but there's always this overwhelming emotion that when you come to the Kotel and you see the kind of Kedusha that you're exposed to, not to mention the kind of Kedusha you're exposed to by having the Gadol Dor in your Beis Medrash every day. So another shmooze maybe for a different time. But one of the things I always like to talk about is issues relating to the Kotel. So I thought maybe we'd talk today about sticking fingers in the Kotel, whether you're allowed to. I once spoke about putting notes in the Kotel, and whether that accomplishes anything. Rav Nevensal in the Sefer on Bein HaMetzarim says that he's pretty sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears tefillos even if you don't write them down, and Hashem probably remembers them also, even if you don't write it down. He doesn't need the notes, but you're allowed to stick your fingers in the Kotel, lean on the Kotel, these different things. So in order to understand what the halach is, you have to have a little bit of background in terms of what the issues are. The first issue is, what wall is it? What is this the wall of that we're talking about? There were many poskim, the Tshuvos HaRadvaz and Simin Yilches, and the Chacham HaSadim and Shar Mishpatei Ha'aretz Perek Yud Aleph, that held that the Kotel is actually the Kotel HaZara and not a Kotel of the Har HaBayis. Now that would be a tremendous chumrah, because the halacha is very different in terms of what is allowed to go into the Har HaBayis versus what is allowed to go into the Azara. Obviously we know that the Metzius is not that way. Archaeology tells us, and in addition to many poskim, the Avnei Nezer and Simen Tafnun and Tafnun Aleph, Sefer Eretz Yisrael of Rabbi Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky and Simen Chaf Beis, many, many other poskim all point out that obviously it is a kotel of the Har HaBayis, it is not a kotel of the Azara. So that's Aleph. That's the most important thing, that to first realize what it is. Now, once we know what it is, that it's a kotel of Har HaBayis, we now need to figure out who is allowed to go in Har HaBayis, who's not allowed to go in Har HaBayis. The halacha is that a tame mace is not allowed into the Azara, but a tame mace is allowed to go into the Har HaBayis. Now, we are all tame mesim, and there's no way out of it. I mean, the only way out of it is with Efer Parah Aduma. We don't yet have that, and therefore there's nothing we could do to solve that problem. We also have an additional tuma, though, that Chazal reveals that every Am Haaretz has a tuma of Zav. A Zav is not permitted to even go on Har HaBayis. A Tamei Meis is allowed to go on Har HaBayis, it's not into the Azara. A Zav is not even allowed to go on Har HaBayis. The way to get around that, perhaps, Machlok Saposkim, that maybe if you go to the mikveh, that would solve that issue. Some of the poskim say, no, you go to the mikveh, you may not be Tamei anymore, but you're still Nam Haaretz. And Nam Haaretz is not allowed to go into Nam Haaretz, has Tuma Zav, so Nam Haaretz shouldn't be allowed to go. But anyway, that's the Zav is a little bit of a... of an issue in terms of Har HaBayis. And again, that's a much bigger topic, whether we're allowed to go on Har HaBayis b'zman hazeh. Then you have the issue of, okay, but I'm not going past the Kotel. All I want to do is stick my fingers in the Kotel. So the question is the wall itself Kadosh? Or do we say, no, only what's behind the wall is Kadosh? How far does the Kedush extend? And when I say how far does it extend, that means two things. How far does it extend out, and how far does it extend down? Do we say that the Ritzbas HaAzara, the floor of the Azara, had the Kedusha, and anything above that has the Kedusha, or it even goes all the way down? And when we say that there's a Kotel that divides from the Kedusha Sarabayis to not Kedusha Sarabayis, does it go all the way through the thickness of the wall, where when I'm sticking my hands in, I'm actually encroaching on the Kedusha of the Har HaBayis? Then the fifth issue, and these are all machlokasim in the Rishonim. The other issue that we have to deal with is that called going in? I'm just still putting my fingers in. Is Bia B'miktsas, partially entering into an area of Kedusha, is that a violation? So we know that it's true when it comes to the Azara. The Rambam in the third parak of Bias Mikdash, Halach Yudches, says that if a Tamei sticks his hand into the Azara, so he's Makanos HaMakos Mardus, that he violated Nisid Rabbanan. The Ravid says, no, it's Nisid HaRaisa, it's not a Nisid Rabbanan, to partially go into the Azara. So then the question is, does the same apply for someone who's Tameh with Tumah Ziva to go partially into the Har HaBayis? Do we assume that just like Bia B'miktsas into the Azara is an Isser, Da'orais or Drabanan, that the same would be true with Bia B'miktsas into the Har HaBayis? So those are the issues that we need to, that go into answering this question. And then, of course, there's the overall big issue is the Shechina is still there. And there is a very much celebrated Medrash that Lo Zaza Shechina Shechina, that the Shechina never left the Kosel HaMa'aravi. But there's a tshuva in the Binyan Tzion, Simon Gimel, where he asks the Kasha, he says, so why do we say in Shemoneh Esrei, if they have Machzor Shechinas HaLetzion? If it's still there, what are we davening for? What do you mean, Machzor Shechinas HaLetzion? It's right there. So the Binyan Tzion deals with this in the tshuva. He also deals with it in Aruch Lener and Yevamos and Davavim Beis. And essentially, he says slightly different things in two different places, but essentially he says that there's different levels of Shechina. That Hamachzir Shechinas HaLetzion, we're davening for the highest level of Gilui Shechina that we could have in this location. But just because the Shechina in its most intense form isn't there, it doesn't mean that there's nothing there anymore. And his raya is from Har Sinai. What happened at Har Sinai? B'mshol Chayovel, after we weren't allowed to go, no animals, no people allowed to go up on Har Sinai while the Shechina was there, while HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving us the Torah. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make a special heter after the Kabbalah's Torah was over. They blew a shofar, and now you're allowed to go back up on the mountain again. Well, why do you have to do that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu left. So now let the Kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina is not there anymore. So shouldn't it automatically be mutter? So says Ben Yitzchak, no. You see that it's not automatically, the Kedusha doesn't all leave. Partially it leaves, but some remnant of the Kedusha still remains. So what do the poskim say about this? Is one allowed to stick his hands in the kotel or not? So the Maral Diskin, the Aderes, all quoted in Ma'adim Uzmanim, Rav Shurmach's Ma'adim Uzmanim Chelkei, Simin Shinun, all hold that it's usher to stick your hands in the kotel, and they're assuming all of these things. They're assuming that it's that Bi'avim Miktsas is a problem. They're assuming that it's a violation of going into the Harabayis as a Zav, and therefore they're machmir not to stick your hands in the kotel. In Orchos Rabbein it says that the Stipler and the Chazanish were also careful about this, but the Stipler held if you go to the mikveh that day, that would suffice. I saw Rav Nevensal in Os Shin Yir Aleph in Yerushalayim Moada, in the Bein HaMetzorim one, he recommends being machmir, but he then quotes that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said that he never remembered people being machmir about this. Rav Shlomo Zalman said that people were always makil to stick their hands in the kotel, and they even have in Shari Tzion, the Rav of the Kotel, Rav Rabinovich, quotes that there's a mesorah that the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh once sent someone with a note to put in the kotel. So obviously the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh must have held that it was permissible to stick your hands in the kotel. So why would we be makel? So there are a lot of reasons to be makel. First of all, maybe the holes in the wall have the status of mechilos and aliyos that are not niskadesh. Not every area, not every last inch of the harabayis is niskadesh. Second of all, if the wall was built, just thinking logically, if it was built to divide between that which is kadosh and that which is not kadosh, so it's very logical to assume that, let's say, when David HaMelech was building this wall, he would not want the people who are on the non-kadosh side to accidentally encroach on the kedusha. The whole point was to divide, to keep them out. So it's not logical that he would build a wall which and be mekadesh the entire thickness of the wall, where anyone who touches it is automatically in violation of that kedusha. Plus, there's a halacha in general in Chosh Mishpat. If let's say you have the very beginning of Sechbat Basra, the Mishnah discusses if you have a wall between two neighbors and the wall falls down. So what do you do with all the stones and all the bricks? Who do they belong to? So the Mishnah says it belongs half and half. The two sides get to split it half and half. Why? Because the assumption is that when you build a wall on a border, you build it 50-50, you build it down the middle. You don't build it on the edge of one border. You don't build the entire wall within one guy's property. When you're building a fence that has thickness to it, a wall that has thickness to it, you'd want it right down the middle. So that's what a number of the poskim suggest maybe is a reason to be make of a probably, if it was, it's a wall built to divide from Kadosh to not Kadosh, it was probably built down the middle. Rav Chil Michal Tukachinsky in Ira Kodesh Ramikdash also is Mekil, but he thinks that it's Kedai to go to the mikveh if you want to touch the wall, if you want to put your fingers in the wall. This is separate from the issue of getting Hana from the wall. The issue of getting Hana is another serious issue. Rav Nevensal is very strict about that a person should not lean against the kotel, that it may be a shayla of me'ila. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah in Beis on Beis that maybe that bo pritzim v'chaluluha, that maybe they were mechalal it already when they went and they took away its status of kedusha, but it's at least a shayla of me'ila that a person shouldn't get hana. In Rav Rabinovich's Chuvah, he says something unbelievable. I never knew that. Maybe you guys know about this, but he said that they found that there were people that were going and chiseling off pieces of the kotel. and bring them into their houses, and they made it like a big frum thing that they would put a big sign in their house, you know, Nalis Yerushalayim Al Rosh Chaseinu. They would not chisel, they would steal, and they don't, you know, they're not making those anymore. You know, it's like you can't take off from the pieces from the Kotel. So Rabbi Novich obviously tries to count how many isurim one violates when doing something like that. So he says, certainly a violation of Mi'ila. We assume that when you take something into your own Rishos, Ramosha writes in the Tshuva, that if you take something into your own Rishos, even if you're not actually Nehenef from it, it's still a violation of Mi'ila by you just bringing it into your Rishos. If you get Hana'ah and don't bring it into your Rishos, it's also a violation of Mi'ila. One or the other is a violation of Mi'ila. It's also a violation of Lo Sasim Kein La'Hashem Elokeichem. That you're not allowed to, we have a mitzvah, we go into Eretz Yisrael, we find Avodah Zarah, we have to destroy it, we have to destroy the Batei Avodah Zarah, but Lo Sasim Kein La'Hashem Elokeichem, we're not allowed to do that to Hashem. A bayis that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not allowed to destroy. So we're not allowed to destroy the walls of the Heichel Mizbeach, the Azaros, and the dirt and the stones that the Gemara talks about in Megillah and Daf Chavtes, where it talks about how Yechaniya took to build the Beis HaKnesses in Chutz Laaretz. That's talking about after it's already destroyed, but if it's still standing, to take off a piece is really unthinkable. It's crazy what they have to deal with here, I guess. But, all right, that's a little bit about the Kedusha of the Kotel. There's obviously a lot more to talk about in terms of the Kedusha of the Kotel, but we'll try to keep it somewhere close to 10 minutes. Okay. Thank you very much for your patience.